If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Be something just a little bit different. I say and repeat this, and it needs to be repeated. I like to put together, and hopefully God gives me things that is usable. Everything that should be preached or taught from the pulpit should be usable in some form or manner. And so I always like to come to the pulpit with something that God has blessed me with or given me or is working on me that I can deliver to you by the power of the Holy Spirit that could be a blessing to you. This seems to be the theme and the goal, to work on people that are saved, that are Christians, that battle the Christian life, Satan and the world and self. And that's a full-time job. That's a full-time job if you're honest with yourself. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I'll be dealing with some basically marriage, relationships. It's all about relationship. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important relationship. And then your relationship with, if you're married, your spouse, that's the second. And then your relationship with your children, family, and then ministry. Ministry third. And so it's important, or fourth, ministry fourth. And so faith in God's plan for your marriage. That's the title, faith in God's plan for your marriage. I believe you cannot exhaust the topic of marriage. Our marriages in America are hurting. Our marriages in America are hurting from self, from us, not understanding or realizing God does have a plan and a blueprint for marriage, So that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So if you're married, put your seatbelt on, strap in, and we'll see what we have here. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read some verses, then we'll pray and get into this this message here. Genesis chapter 2, and I believe I want to grab verses 21 through 25. The Bible says this, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you again, and Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your house, to be around one another, around your word. And Father, I pray that our heart is attentive and fertile, Father, for your word. Father, be with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, give me power and unction to speak and proclaim your word and truth. Father, strike not and non-truth, wickedness from my mind and my thoughts and my mouth. And Father, let me deliver to your people. Father, we do pray if there's one in here that's lost, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior tonight. Today is the day of salvation. But Father, be with our church, be with our services, be with our pastor and the people here, and these petitions that we brought before you, those that are sick, those that are in need, Father, need of you. Father, we ask that you would answer these prayers, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we have the beginning. We always like to start at the beginning when we deal with a topic like marriage. And just because I'll be preaching on marriage or talking about marriage doesn't mean that I have a perfect marriage. Nobody does. I have a wonderful wife, and as long as I do everything she says, everything is great. No. No, we do. I do. I have definitely married up. I will admit that. And I'm blessed with a wonderful wife. But just because somebody, a preacher or teacher, preaches or teaches on the marriage doesn't necessarily mean theirs is not problem free. And so it's not that. It's we're all learning. We all work. And I do have a wonderful marriage, and I'm thankful for that. And it's by the grace of God. It's by what the Word of God says. And we'll be looking at it. Let me say this. A well-built house must first have carefully designed blueprints. It must have a strong foundation and a competent builder. We work in the building trades, and it's not uncommon to be handed a set of blueprints. One of the things we begin to look at, we can tell in a matter of a couple of minutes whether the blueprints are well-drawn blueprints or they're not. And it's always nice to work with a well-drawn blueprint, something that is accurate. And a lot of times, if those in the building trade work with inaccurate prints, it's like pulling your hair out, and it's a difficult task to deal with. Here, for a house, for a marriage, it's the same thing. The blueprint is God's Word. That's why we proclaim that this is the perfect Word of God. If it wasn't accurate, if it wasn't perfect, then we would have trouble in this area, this topic called marriage. The foundation is Jesus Christ. No marriage, no relationship anywhere is worth anything without first the relationship of Jesus Christ. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then our daily guiding hand of the Holy Ghost to guide and to direct and to teach and to correct when we need correction. It's just like the building trade. But let's notice with me here, we're going to break some of these verses down. Faith in God's plan for your marriage. Number one, the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage. Now, all of us, pretty much, if you're, I don't want to use the right words here. We all watch the news, read the news. I do more reading than watching. And we get our news in. This is a big topic today and has been in our culture and our country, is redefining marriage. Let me state this. God defines marriage, and He defines it in the verses that we read, and it's defined. And God says, in Mark, I have it in one of my, here in Mark, He says, what God puts together, let no man take or put, take asunder. It means take apart. And I believe that man is trying to take apart or has taken apart what God has put together. And that is the marriage. That's the marriage. That's what we'll be on this evening. The purpose of the marriage. God designed marriage for a reason. For a reason. It has been popular today to describe marriage as an artifact of our society. That's what people or our culture wants to do. An artifact of society. Marriage is a part of God's divine plan. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get underneath of it. It's God's plan. It's going to stand. It's going to stand the test of time. No matter what man tries to do to this. It's not good that man should be alone. This is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. I want you to notice something. This is a sidebar, but if you look back in Genesis, there's a lot of things that God created from Genesis 1:1 on down through there. Notice in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4, and I'm going to move to build this foundation for the purpose of marriage. He states this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Drop down to verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Drop down to verse 18. And the rule, he says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. That's the sun and the moon. Verse 21, he goes on, and God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, it goes on, and God made this, and God made the beast of the earth of, after his kind, and after the cattle their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, notice with me in verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, if we notice where we're at there, where we had talked about, and it says in chapter 2 and verse 18, it says this, and the Lord God said, it was not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And so we see that, not that we're bringing something that God forgot about. God didn't forget. God doesn't forget. But God notices here that it wasn't good for man to be alone. The purpose for marriage is God's design. That is the first thing that God said was not good. There are two basic, vital, important things that a marriage is designed to provide. It's designed to provide, number one, companionship. Let me read this verse real quickly, and then we'll get into back into our text. Companionship, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." The Bible looks at us and says, they do need help. And that's what he's seen when he looked at Adam without Eve. He needed help. It was not good. God created Eve specifically to meet the needs Adam had. In the Garden of Eden, God planned the institute of marriage to meet our needs for companionship. This is what was going on. We see this here. God says, look, this is not good that man should be alone. And so Adam needed, he was missing something, and he was missing companionship. Adam noticed that the animals that God had created, some from the water, some from the dust of the earth, but he let Adam name them, and he knew that they all had helpmeets. There all was a couple, but Adam did not. There was not found one for him. And so God saw this, and he said, look, he needs somebody to complete him. Companionship. Number one, the purpose for marriage is companionship. That's one of the reasons. Second, completion. Completion. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice with me, it says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." He needed completed. There was not found an helpmeet for him. Everything Adam was not, Eve was. They were designed to come together and to complete one another within the relationship. God knew how he had created man or Adam. And so the opposite of Adam is exactly what he needed. God created woman to fulfill those completions and that companionship that Adam was missing or that man was missing. Society today is removing the difference between men and women. They are erasing those boundaries. They're saying a woman's more like a man and a man needs to be more like a woman. Listen, when you begin to mess with the psychological type of your makeup, your DNA, and man is doing its best to do that, and I'll tell you where that comes from. That comes from Satan. That comes from Satan right there. But when you begin to mess with that, you begin to mess with what God has established and founded and he has given to man. Not to mess up. Not to mess up. But to use and to use God's blueprint. It's like taking a nice set of blueprints. I'm thinking of that 146-page blueprint of the ark down there, down in Williamstown, and redesigning or drawing. I don't have a foggiest idea how to redesign that or draw that. But it's like taking a blueprint that somebody has and taking time and set it up. And God has done that. He's given us a blueprint by his word of God and rewriting it, saying, I'm God. I can do better than God. Listen, if you have any ounce of rationalization, saved or lost, you know you're not smarter than God. God says, look, it needs to be this way. Number one, the purpose for marriage is companionship. A second purpose is completion. Completion. It says, let me say this. I wrote some things down here. I heard a woman say, God made man, looked at him and said, I can do better than that. I heard a man say that God made the world, the beast, man, then he rested. He made woman, and neither the world, the beast, nor man have rested since. I like that one better, but either way, you see where we're going with this thing. The second is the proclamation about marriage. There was something that was stated about this. When God brought Eve to Adam, Adam made a statement that reveals the design and plan God had in the mind for marriage, what he had in mind for marriage. And it's this. Notice with me in verse 23 of our text, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Adam embraced and accepted the gift that God had brought him. He didn't refuse Eve. And I've heard this, that Eve was the most beautiful woman on the earth. And so she was the only one too. So he was kind of, God didn't give him multiple choice. He designed Eve and it was from man. So if he was going to, say it wasn't attractive or someone right, it would come from man. So he's blaming himself. But God, Adam did not refuse Eve. He did not refuse Eve. And so he had a plan here, but his proclamation about marriage, it is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A proclamation of acceptance. Notice that Adam accepted what God had given him. One of the most important foundations of marriage, those that have been married are going to agree with this, quite a few years. The most important foundation of a marriage is acceptance. Now, what happens in a marriage? I've got about almost 15 years in, so I'm way behind a lot of you. But I do know this. Acceptance, when I first met Allison, or when you first met your mate, whether the man or the woman, is acceptance. You wanted to be accepted. I wanted Allison to like me. I wanted to be accepted, and I accepted her. But what happens is after you get married and goes on, and you begin to learn each other's traits, the acceptance kind of goes out the window. And you begin to critique and criticize, and judge your spouse. This goes on. You say, are you guilty of this? Oh, yeah. God's listening. I can't lie about this one. This is true. Acceptance is very important to keep the marriage together. Listen, you're going to have to overlook a lot of faults, a lot of sins, yes, and watch the criticizing and watch the critiquing or the judging. Because what ultimately happens is you get judged yourself. And we forget about when we first met one another, about the acceptance that we had towards or for one another. But that goes out the window quickly, and Satan gets involved. And number one, the Bible is against that. We're noticing the proclamation of acceptance. The proclamation of acceptance. Adam accepted Eve for what she was and who she was. And God designed her and had made her for Adam. And they both were compatible for one another. It's just not the woman was made for the man. They were both made for each other. And so we see acceptance is very important. If you do not have acceptance in your relationship in your marriage will crumble. It will crumble. There's no marriage out there that will withstand criticizing or critiquing or judging, especially a full amount of it. It won't work. But notice, let's move on. A proclamation not only of acceptance, but of honor. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, this is what it states, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Listen, there is something connected with the honoring of your spouse. Number one, this was an order given to the man to the woman. The Bible says there in Peter that the man is to honor the woman. And you'll notice if you study your Bible in the relationship of a marriage in the Bible, that a lot of the duty of and responsibility lies on the husband or the man's part. And you say, why is that? Because what we find in Scripture is that he's accountable for that. And you say, well, does the wife have any? Yes, she has a role, a very powerful role, but it's more to the man to love the wife. It's more for the man to accept and to appreciate the wife, just like Adam here. And a lot of times the man leaves it to the woman to do and to come up with, and then they wonder why and figure out why they don't have a good, strong marriage. It's because they have their principles of marriage backwards. The proclamation about a marriage is the proclamation of honor. You have to have honor in a marriage. And let me say this. If you do not have honor in a marriage, you will not have a strong marriage for long. It will deteriorate, and Satan will make sure of it. Satan, let me say this, is not for marriage. You say you want to know what goads and what pushes fornication, what goads and pushes adultery, and what goes and pushes having an open marriage relationship or just a relationship with somebody that you're not married to. Satan. Those sins and those list of sins you'll find through the New Testament and Old, there are hooked in the nature of human, the sinful nature, and Satan. Satan is behind us. Notice with me, let's move on. Thirdly, the priorities of marriage. This is where I want to lodge tonight. The priorities of marriage. For your marriage to be what God wants it to be, It must have the place of importance that He planned for it to hold in your life. Here's what I'm saying. If your marriage is to reach God's highest goal, you're gonna need three basic convictions. And they must remain priority in your marriage relationship. And I'm going to give them to you here, and they're in our text. And what I mean by importance and priority means your marriage relationship is going to supersede your job or your job promotion. Your marriage relationship, if it's important, is going to supersede your children. Your relationship with your wife or with your husband is more important than your relationship with the outside world. It's not more important than God. God comes first. But a lot of times people get their relationship mixed up. You will find that a spouse, a husband or a wife, will love the children and have more relationship with the children than with their husband or wife. This is anti-God, anti-Bible. And so you say, well, what does the Bible say about this? The priorities and the convictions are these. Number one, let's look at them. Leaving. Notice with what Adam says. Let me say this first before we read. Leaving. Adam said, Adam says this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. This is what he states here. Now, this is quite a unique that Adam would say this, because Adam did not have a mother or a father. You could say in a spiritual sense that God was his father. The Bible states that Adam was the son of God. Now we're the sons of Adam now. But Adam really didn't have a mother or a father, but he makes this statement. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. He was expressing a principle that would apply to all marriages. I have experienced this personally myself. And just because I've experienced it doesn't make it so. It's what the Bible says about this leaving. Marriage apply to all marriages that we have. For our marriage to succeed, listen to me, there must be both a psychological and a physical leaving of the parents to establish your own relationship. God did not design for Adam and Eve and mother-in-law. That's not a marriage. God did not design Adam and Eve and father-in-law or father. And not just father-in-law. That's what comes first to my mind. But for some, it might be a father or a mother. It's not designed that way. Let me tell you this from experience. If you have a three-way relationship, this is what I'm talking about, your marriage will not last. It will not last. You say, why? Because it breaks the principle of leaving. This is one of the priority convictions of a good marriage. The priorities of a marriage. Number one, leaving. Psychological and physical leaving of the parents to establish your own relationship. That doesn't mean that you do not have a relationship with your mother and father or your father-in-law or your mother-in-law. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means your decisions that you need to make for your relationship, your marriage, needs to be between you and your husband or you and your wife. Not a three-way. It will not work. Secondly, the second conviction is cleaving. Adam said, man should cleave unto his wife. Cleave means literally to be glued together. Jesus taught on the preeminence of marriage in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, 7. For the sake of time, I'm leaving some of these scriptures out. There's all kinds of scriptures on this. Mark chapter 10, I want to read. He says this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. This is Jesus Christ speaking and teaching on marriage. It's not something that I whipped up and dreamed up or got something bumped in my head. This is what scripture's saying. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Watch the principle. So then they are no more twain, that means two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. He makes a principle that will work in many different applications of marriage, namely the one that's being debated and contested and voted on, you can have a marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it states. That's not what God designed. And so you see man tearing that apart. You also see man tearing it apart and working on this relationship is to be one. When you're married, you become together. You're to be glued together, the Bible says. Cleave. And so this means a oneness. And Christ says that you become one flesh. One flesh. It's hard to make three of you one flesh. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. This is what I'm talking about. So leaving, cleaving, and lastly, weaving. Weaving. Notice with me, marriage is two people becoming one flesh. We just read the verse. That is God's design. That's not man's design. So many couples start out on the wrong foot. They keep separate banking accounts. They have their own friends and do not spend time together. I have friends like this today. What they are entering into is more of a partnership, than a weaving of close relationship. Too many couples are more like roommates today than husband and wife. God's plan is for your relationship to be deeply intimate in every level. And this is the meat of it. You got three areas that you're going to have to work on. Weaving spiritually. If you do not have a spiritual relationship, number one, with God and with your spouse, and I'm talking to Mary, now in the context of Mary, I'm not stepping out of this context, then you do not have a spiritual relationship, you do not have a good marriage. You say, well, how can you say that? It's because what the Bible says and what the Bible states. Let me say this, read the Bible together. This is going to help you weave spiritually together, knit together, cleave together, set aside time to pray together, go to church together. When you draw close to God, you are automatically drawn closer to each other at the same time. Invest in the spiritual aspect of your marriage. If you do not invest time in the spiritual aspect of your marriage, you will not have a good marriage. You will not think right. You will not function right. And spiritually, you will not be right. The Bible says somewhere that it will be hindered. Your prayers would be hindered. So don't expect God to answer every prayer request, especially if you're having relational problems within your marriage. I'm telling you, invest the spiritual aspect of your marriage. Spend time together reading your Bible and praying together. Secondly, emotionally, and I'm watching my time, I'm a little over, weaving emotionally. This is very important, and a lot is overlooked. We cannot have the kind of relationship God wants unless we spend time together. Your marriage must matter more to you than a promotion at work, a night out with friends, or your favorite hobby. Cultivate your time together. Make an investment of time in building emotional intimacy in your marriage. That's emotional intimacy. You need to know your spouse well, his or hers up and downs. You need to be able, the Bible says, to dwell with them according to knowledge. Sometimes I have a bad day. Allison dwells with me. She doesn't fly off the handle. Well, sometimes. And then if she's having a bad day, which is rare, I try to dwell with her and with her according to knowledge. But it's a give and take relationship. You say, do you have a 50-50 relationship? No, we do not. That's the world's view and their philosophy that they throw at marriage, what they call marriage today. I have a 100% relationship. I give 100% to my wife, and my wife gives me 100% back. It's 100%. It takes work. It takes lots of work. You say, well, I don't want to work. Then don't get married. Don't get married. All right? You say, well, I'm already married. Then you're stuck. And if you want this thing to work that we call a marriage, that God calls a marriage, that God instituted, you're going to have to put 100% in it. You have to put 100% in it. So weaving spiritually, weaving emotionally, and lastly, weaving physically. God's plan for the physical aspect of marriage has been distorted by the devil. Your TV shows, your books, you name it, it's out there. Satan's going to give it to you. And it distorts the physical part of marriage. Matter of fact, it's common practice today to not even be married, but to have the physical fringe benefits of marriage. This is wrong and anti-God. Notice with me, God's plan is for a husband and a wife to mutually submit their bodies to each other to meet the other's needs. Commit yourself to building a close relationship and satisfying physical relationship. You cannot start or build a solid relationship on just a physical basis. So many times, especially in the Christian life, Christian realm, it always starts on the physical aspect. A relationship should always start on the spiritual aspect. And if you've started a relationship on the physical, you're going to have an uphill battle getting that thing turned around. If your relationship or marriage is just on the physical, you're going to have a weak marriage. It's not all about the physical. That's the good sign. That's what God designed it for. That's what it's for. But it's not all for the physical side. The Bible, I want to take this and read this real quick. I know I'm past time, but bear with me. First Corinthians, I'm going to pull this out of the hat here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, notice with me, now concerning, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's in the context of not being married. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. That's actually the physical, sexual things that the Bible's speaking of here. Don't follow with me here. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Do benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. You say, now it makes more sense how God designed you to be one flesh. Watch it here. Defraud ye not one to the other, except it be with consent. That means both of them on the same page. For a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and to prayer. There's your two reasons why you might hold off on the physical side of the relationship and of a marriage, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So here we see that there is a weakness here with the physical. You need the physical. That's what marriage is about. But be careful, Satan, if you want to control a marriage on the physical aspect, that's dangerous. Satan wants to get a foothold in there, and he can. And Paul is warning them here on this relationship to be careful of this, because Satan sees this and he slips in. He's the tempter. And you see here, it says, Satan tempt you. Be careful of this, lest Satan tempt you and get a hold of or advantage of you. Now, what we looked at quickly tonight has been faith in God's plan for your marriage. And we have run through quite a bit here, but the most important things is the last aspect, that's the meat of it, is the convictions that you need in your marriage. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving. A lot of times we leave one of these steps or convictions out, and we wonder why we do not have a strong marriage. You want a strong marriage? Keep these three convictions. Leaving, make sure you don't have somebody else in your relationship or your marriage. Cleaving, make sure you cleave to your wife and to your husband. You don't go outside. You get help from. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. You'd be surprised how smart they really are. I know they were smart when you first met them, but after you got married, they're really dumb. I understand that. But you'd be surprised what you get out of it if you go God's way. And then the weaving part. The weaving part has three aspects to it. It has the spiritual aspect, it has the emotional aspect, and it has the physical aspect. You cannot just have one or two of them. You have to have all three. Begin to teach this stuff and preach this stuff so we may enjoy strong relationships with our spouses, strong marriages. What I say about a blueprint? God has a blueprint. God has a foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has the Holy Spirit to guide us in this truth from the blueprint. We just need to take his word. We need to take his word and put it into practice. So I don't know where your marriage is at. Hopefully you have a blessed marriage. But if you don't, these are some of the things that the Bible speaks of that should be in place. Let's all stand.